We've all been there, haven't we? You know, staring at that dense, jargon-filled legal contract, page after endless page. It almost feels designed to overwhelm you, and you get that familiar knot of dread in your stomach. You just want to understand it, sign it, and we'll move on. Our sources, they don't just echo that feeling, that frustration. They actually pinpoint why these documents create so much friction. It slows down negotiations. Sometimes it even harms valuable relationships.
Absolutely. It's a common pain point.
But what if contracts could be different? Something else entirely. Mm-hmm. What if they weren't just, you know, necessary evils, but actually beautiful, fair, effective, and efficient tools?
That's a big shift in thinking.
It really is. And that's the core of our deep dive today. We're trying to cut through the noise, understand the latest thinking, the practical ways to transform contracts, make them work for you, not against you. Think of it as maybe a shortcut. A shortcut to making agreements not just legally sound, but strategically powerful.
A shortcut. Yeah, I like that.
So to guide us, we've pulled insights from some really fantastic sources. We've got discussions from a World Commerce and Contracting APAC Summit, insights from a workshop by Verity White of Checklist Legal. She has great work. Plus the perspective of Sally Geyer, who's the CEO of World Commerce and Contracting, and also some cutting-edge ideas on automation from LawHawk.
Exactly. And we're going to pull out the key nuggets from all of these. This isn't just about making legal docs look prettier or, you know, slightly easier to read. It's bigger than that. It's a fundamental shift in how we approach contracts, not just theory, but in really tangible ways, ways that impact your bottom line, that strengthen partnerships. We'll look at how beautiful can mean less friction, fair builds more trust, and effective, efficient. Well, that leads to actual business growth and better operations. It's honestly a game changer for anyone dealing with agreements, which, let's face it, is most of us.
You mentioned friction earlier. Our sources really hit this hard.
Mm.
They describe traditional contracts as overly long, not well formatted, written by lawyers for other lawyers.
Uh-huh.
Can you maybe unpack that a bit? What do those friction points actually look like in practice? How do they really hurt business beyond just, you know, slowing things down?
Oh, it's a really significant issue, far beyond just a minor annoyance. These aren't just quirks of the legal world. They're fundamental barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, think about the lost revenue, right? When a critical sales deal gets stuck in legal review for weeks because of some obscure clause nobody understands.
Right, yeah, that happens.
Or the missed opportunity when a key supplier contract isn't clear on, say, service level agreements. That leads to project delays, cost overruns. When contracts are confusing, hard to understand, even harder to manage, they actively impede collaboration. They can create distrust between the parties involved, and they just slow down the entire business cycle.
So it actively works against you.
It does. They prevent parties from fully understanding their obligations, their rights. People get hesitant to act. Disputes happen. Opportunities are missed. In the big picture of business relationships and efficiency, these old-style contracts actively work against getting good outcomes. They make everything harder, slower, and much more prone to misunderstanding.
Okay, so if that's the current, often frustrating reality, what's the vision? Our sources talk about creating contracts that look amazing and are going to deliver the best overall outcomes. That sounds, well, incredibly ambitious for legal documents. How do we even start bridging that gap from where we are now?
Well, the goal is truly transformative, moving from contracts as obstacles to contracts as actual enablers of business. And our sources suggest the solution revolves around three pillars, really. They're interconnected. First, contract design. Think visual layout, information hierarchy, user experience, making it intuitive.
Like how it looks and feels.
Exactly. Then simplification. That's about clear, jargon-free language, concise structure, getting rid of the legalese where possible.
Makes sense.
And third, automation. Using technology to streamline everything, from drafting to execution, even management afterwards, it's about turning agreements into a strategic asset, not just that necessary evil we talked about.
Design, simplification, automation. Okay, that sounds like a powerful combination. Where do we start, though? Is it like you tackle design first, then simplify, then bring in the tech? What's the order?
Well, the journey often does start by looking at design and simplification. Because, you know, they're fundamental to clarity. Verity White, for example, she has this brilliant approach she calls making the complex simple. And she doesn't just guess. She actually benchmarks example contracts against established best practice standards, really identifies specific areas for improvement readability, logic, user friendliness.
Ah, so it's data driven.
Precisely. It's a structured analysis key to moving beyond just subjective opinions about what looks good to what actually works, what delivers clarity and usability. And you definitely don't have to reinvent the wheel here. That's a key point. Sally Geyer from World Commerce and Contracting highlights the vast amount of resources they offer members. If you're looking for research-backed principles, standards to adopt, it's all there.
So lean on the experts.
Exactly. There's no need to figure it all out yourself from scratch. You can leverage existing knowledge, proven frameworks to guide your simplification and design. Make sure you're building on solid ground.
That makes perfect sense. So the natural, logical way forward seems clear then. First, you clean up the content, maybe redesign the look and feel. Then you simplify the language. And then, only then, you bring in automation. It feels like the cleanup crew comes in before the tech team, right?
That's the intuitive path.
So, but here's where our sources throw a bit of a curveball. They introduce this surprising strategic move that kind of flips that order on its head. Because that logical-taste approach, like we said, one, rewrite based on best practices. Two, simplify and redesign. Three, automate. It feels like you clean the house first. Then you build the robot vacuum system around the clean house.
Right.
But some might worry, aren't you just automating badness faster if you automate first? How do you avoid that trap?
That's a really sharp question. And it gets right to the heart of this counterintuitive idea. What's fascinating is, while that staged approach seems logical, our sources suggest that in practice, these elements are best looked at together. And maybe even as part of an ongoing process, not just discrete stages.
Together? How so?
Well, think about it. Many organizations are just trapped. They know their contracts need improving. But the sheer daily grind of managing those bad, inefficient contracts eats up all their time. There's no bandwidth left for actual improvement work.
A hamster wheel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is where automation isn't just about speed. It's about breaking that cycle. It actually creates the very bandwidth you need for transformation. Automating what you already have, even if it's imperfect, can be a very quick win. It immediately frees up critical time.
I see. That's a powerful point. So the time freed up by automating even the current, maybe messy, contracts. That's not just a bonus. It's the key resource. It finally lets you do the deeper work of simplification and redesign.
Precisely.
It's like, okay, building the robot to clean your current messy room. And then when you decide to redecorate, the robot can probably adapt because the main walls are still there. But crucially, now you actually have the time and energy to redecorate in the first place.
That's a great analogy. And it goes further. Automation doesn't just free up time. It also facilitates simplification directly in a way people often miss.
How to do that?
Consider a master template for a contract. It might need to be really long, super comprehensive, right? Packed with options for every possible scenario.
Yeah, there's huge templates.
But thanks to automation, which uses conditional logic, if this, then that, the assembled agreement can be much shorter and clearer. Why? Because everything unnecessary can be stripped out for that specific deal.
Ah, so the final document is tailored.
Exactly. You only get the clauses you actually need. Which makes the final document far simpler, much easier to digest for everyone involved.
Okay, give me an example.
Sure. Think about an IP clause, intellectual property. In some contracts, IP might not be a big deal. Only a brief standard clause is needed.
Right.
But if IP is critical, really valuable, then that clause needs to be much more detailed, clear, effective, maybe quite long, to properly protect those assets.
Makes sense. Different needs.
Automation handles this variability perfectly. Through smart logic, maybe asking a few key questions up front, it can dynamically generate the right IP clause. Could be a short standard one, could be a comprehensive multi-paragraph one, whatever fits the situation.
And what about checks and balances, making sure the right clause is chosen?
Good point. And crucially, if there's any doubt about the complexity needed, process automation can ensure that legal is included. It can flag it, route it to them, allowing them to verify the requirement. So you get that layer of crucial oversight built into the automated process itself.
That really shifts the conversation beyond just efficiency, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not merely about drafting contracts faster anymore. It sounds like it's about creating structured data that will enable better contract management and contract outcomes. This feels like we're moving from static documents to something more like dynamic intelligent tools. What is this structured data exactly? How does it get created? How is it used?
Precisely. You've hit on a key benefit. Automation, when done right, turns contract text into actionable structured data. Imagine, instead of just a paragraph describing a milestone, that milestone exists as a distinct data point in a system.
Okay.
Complete with fields for due date, owner, status, associated payment amount. It's metadata data about the data that systems can actually read, analyze, and trigger actions from.
How's it created?
It's created during that automated assembly process. The system prompts you for specific info, the date, the amount, the person responsible, and it stores that information in these structured fields rather than just burying it in free-form text.
I see. And the value?
Oh, the value is immense. Think, for example, about those milestones and deliverables again. With automation generating structured data, each one can have its specific performance standards, due dates, payment amounts linked directly. This isn't just text on a page anymore. It's actionable data.
What can you do with it?
It can feed into dashboards, trigger alerts for upcoming deadlines, maybe even automate invoicing when a milestone is hit. It enables truly proactive management of contract compliance and performance. It allows you, essentially, to see the health of your contracts at a glance instead of digging through pages and pages of text.
That sounds incredibly useful.
And this brings up an important question, really, which is what's actually possible with this kind of data? Our sources suggest that understanding what is possible with automation is likely to affect the approach to design and content.
How so?
Well, if you don't realize you can capture structured data for, say, payment triggers or renewal dates,
yeah. You
might just stick with basic text fields. You design your contract content without thinking about the data it could generate.
And miss the opportunity.
Exactly. You'd miss out on creating valuable data that enables more active contract management. You wouldn't build in those mechanisms for oversight, tracking, and strategic insights right from the start.
Which brings us back to the ultimate goal. As our sources keep emphasizing, it's all about the outcomes. Good contracting is about maximizing the value of outcomes. It's not just about getting a signature, it's about what happens after the signature and how that whole process drives real business value.
Absolutely. And to truly maximize those outcomes, you can't just fix one isolated part of the process. Our sources are clear. Improving only part of a process is likely to significantly reduce the overall outcomes. Why? Because the process is only as strong as the weakest component. It's the classic weakest link problem. If you automate a poorly designed, overly complex contract, sure, it's faster, but you'll still hit problems downstream with managing it or understanding it. The real power comes from that holistic approach we talked about. Using automation to gain the time and insight to simplify and redesign your content effectively. Creating a kind of virtuous cycle where each improvement actually amplifies the others. It's about using tech to empower human intelligence, not just replace steps.
Which neatly brings us back to the power of collaboration that was mentioned in the source material. That idea that working with a collaboration of experts, such as World Commerce and Contracting, Checklist Legal, and LawHawk, could help you get to the best possible outcomes in the least time.
Mm-hmm. Leveraging that collective expertise.
It's about pulling together that knowledge to transform the entire contract lifecycle, making sure every step from design through simplification to automation is really optimized. So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you listening? Well, it means moving beyond that dread we started with, beyond traditional cumbersome contracts. It means creating documents that are genuinely beautiful in their clarity, their user experience, fair in their intent and how they balance risk, effective in actually achieving their goals, and efficient in how they're created and proactively managed.
No more getting bogged down.
Exactly. No more obscure clauses slowing down your business or causing confusion. And I think the key takeaway here is that surprising synergy between automation, simplification, and design. And especially that counterintuitive idea that sometimes, starting with automation, even of a less than perfect contract can actually unlock the time and provide the insights you need for deeper, more meaningful improvement across the board. It's a powerful path to real transformation, and it's already happening out there.
Indeed. And it really encourages us to think a bit broader, doesn't it? Beyond just legal documents. How might applying these core principles, identifying the friction points, simplifying things, structuring for better data, maybe even automating tasks to free up time, how applying these not just to contracts, but maybe to other overly complex processes or documents in your work, how could that unlock unexpected efficiencies and maybe even better outcomes, something to consider perhaps? Where could you start your own journey towards systems that are, beautiful, fair, effective, and efficient within your own sphere?